This morning, the Miami Herald broke a story and a few hearts. Humorist Dave Barry is taking indefinite leave of absence from the paper. That means his column, syndicated in 500 papers, will no longer be available come this January. Barry told the Herald he has not missed a week in his 30 years as a columnist. Along the way, he's written dozens of books and won a Pulitzer Prize. It should come as no surprise he's ready for some time off, but that doesn't make the news any easier for his fans. Now's your opportunity to tell him or offer him some advice. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. You can also email us, TOTN at NPR.org. Dave Barry joins us now, and say it ain't so.
Hey, I'm feeling good about it. It's weird, though. It's kind of like I died. You know, the story in the Herald was sort of like an obituary, and all these people have been calling all day saying, I'm going to miss you. And I go, but I'm here. I'm still here.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to, you know, sit around and work on my toenails for a solid year. No, I have a couple of books I'm working on and a movie that I've been involved with and stuff like that. But I feel it's time to just not have a weekly column due every week.
There was a TV show based on you, more or less. You didn't take time off for that.
Yeah, but you'll notice that, well, the guy in that show, which was Harry Anderson, hardly ever had to write his column, which was my big objection. He got to have wacky adventures with his neighbors and play cards and drink beer, and he just seemed to have a great time. But what he almost never did was write a column. And I thought, man, that's the kind of columnist I want to be. I want to be the Harry Anderson style of wacky neighbor enjoying beer drinking with column.
30 years without missing a deadline. Did you have a perfect record in school for attendance?
No, I was really bad. I think I made up for it, you know, when I got out. And actually, I think the key difference was that in school, you'll notice they don't pay you to do book reports. And you're not, you know, you don't even have a mortgage usually when you're in about like sixth grade. But that's a powerful incentive when you get out there in the real world to produce things for people.
Harry Anderson's kids are probably grown up by now. How about yours?
I have a bizarre situation. I have a 24-year-old son, so you could argue he's pretty grown up, and I have a 4-year-old daughter, so you could argue she's not, although in a lot of ways she's more mature than I am already.
Well, she's going to want to go to preschool someday.
I know, and that ain't free, buddy. No, I'm going to spend some more time hanging around Soph, so I think she's looking forward to it.
We visited your blog today. I didn't know you were a blogger till today. Found over 200 entries from your fans. Here's one. I have that feeling you get when a really good friend moves far away. You know you're going to miss them, but they're happy that they're going to be happier where they are, you know, smiling and crying at the same time. Getting that reaction a lot?
Yeah, it's been a lot of really nice reactions. So, I mean, but I still don't feel guilty.
Well, we want you to feel guilty, darn it.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should.
Another blogger wrote, rumor has it Dave is going on tour with Cher.
Yeah. If I were to retire the way Cher's retiring, then neither one of us would stop working until the earth has crashed back into the sun. I mean, she's in, I believe, year three of her retirement tour.
You could have your...
And has threatened to pose nude when she turns 60. And I just want to stress that I am not going to... pose nude when I turn 60, no matter how great the demand.
And at the same time, you could be writing your farewell column for years.
Well, there are those who argue that I have. Not everybody thinks I'm a wonderful. Some people say, "Well, yeah, he's been writing the same column for 30 years. Why can't you know? I might as well just stop pretending."
Let's get a caller on the line if you'd like to join us. By the way, 800-989-8255. Stuart is with us from Traverse City, Michigan. Stuart. Go ahead, Stuart.
Yes, I just wondered, I had read your article about the zebra-encrusted brassiere floating in Lake Erie, and I was wondering if you're going to do some more research on that subject.
Yeah, that's one of the stories that I feel I had a major role in my journalism career. This happened a few years ago, but they were worried about zebra mussels, which are these little zebra mussels.
Invaders from a foreign land.
Right, that are not.
There's a lot of those invasive species coming into the Great Lakes, and I have a sailboat, and we were out this summer, and kind of looking for some of those invasive species.
Well, they pulled this brassiere out of Lake Erie, and it had thousands of zebra mussels attached to it. It was a very large brassiere, apparently, and no one determined who it belonged to or what happened. One theory, actually this was my theory, was that the zebra mussels ate whoever was in that brassiere. So somewhere there might be a a buxom woman missing, and this might be the cause. We don't know. We just like to spread this rumor.
I suspect it's not Cher.
No, I don't think. We know Cher is still out there. There have been Cher sightings.
Stuart, thank you for that update, so we could update that breaking story.
That was like at least 10 years ago.
Okay, well, good talking to you, Dave. Good luck in your new career or whatever you choose.
Thank you very much.
So is your new catchphrase, you know, we've always read, you know, I am not making this up.
My new one's going to be, I am not doing anything.
I was wondering, it's going to be, do you want fries with that?
No, my goal, people who are serving other people French fries are actually working for a living. And I mean, the whole point of getting into journalism in the first place and writing a column was to avoid that. So I can't see going from journalism to something even more difficult.
Let's talk with Bob. Bob's calling from Wilmington, Delaware.
Hi, I was wondering if Dave was familiar with the Dave Barry column auto generator on the internet, and if he considered having people use that in his absence.
Yeah, there is a guy, a very clever guy. I've forgotten his name. I've met him a couple times. Created a thing on the internet. He calls Auto Dave, and you go to this site if you want to find. Just Google Auto Dave, and you. He asks you to put in a bunch of names and various nouns and verbs, and then the computer generates a pretty darn good column. I've been using that for many years. I haven't actually written one of my own columns in at least a decade.
Bob, have you tried this Dave Barry auto generator?
Yeah, sure, and it's. Almost as funny as the real thing.
Well, just try to hang on to the web address, and I think there's an opening at the Miami Herald.
Yeah. Hey, I was able to get away with it all these years.
Bob, thanks very much for the phone call.
You're welcome.
Let's talk now with Bob, another Bob, who's calling from Reno, Nevada.
Hi there. How are you?
Okay.
Boy, Dave Barry is one of my personal heroes. I can't believe this.
Well, listen, you need to raise your sights, Bob.
Raise your sights. That sounds like it could be a name for a rock band. Well, I am will really be sorry to see you take a break, although I wish you very, very the best of everything and just hope you have a good time off. And I'll just have to suffer with digging out my old newspapers and going through old columns, I guess, for a while.
Or you can do, I suggested this in the story that the Herald ran today. Basically, what I do for a living is I read the paper and I go, whoa, that's pretty stupid. And I write a column of 800 words basically saying that's pretty stupid. So you could do that. You don't need to do that.
Oh, wait. My bird. Oh, shoot. I'll have to pull that one out later and scrape it off.
Oh, the paper's already gone.
Yeah. Ah, well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Bob.
You know, I want to know, does anybody really use newspaper to line the bottoms of bird cages anymore?
Or wrap fish.
I mean, I haven't personally seen a fish wrapped in a newspaper or a bird cage with a newspaper at the bottom in decades. And we need to come up with a better way to explain how little we think of our newspaper, is what I think.
I understand that your withdrawal from the column business is not total, final, and absolute.
Well, no. What I've told the Herald is that I want to not write a column for a year, and that during that year, toward the end of it, I'm going to decide if I'd want to start up again or not. And at this point, I really don't know. I've done it for a long time, and it was wonderful. It was the best job in the whole world. But I don't want to keep doing it forever. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, at what point would it stop being fun, and what point would I start to stink at it? You know, so I think this year is just I have stuff to do. I have plenty to do. I have books to write and other projects I'm involved with. This is just a chance to find out if I could be happy without it, and life would go on. I think life will go on.
Probably the sun will come up tomorrow.
Oh, I wouldn't count on that. I think I've had a lot to do with the sun coming up.
But isn't it kind of a rhythm thing to write a column? I mean, you get into a pattern, and you know, I assume you sit down and write it more or less at the same time every week.
No, actually, I wrote all of them in 1978, and I've been dribbling them out. No, that's true. You're absolutely right.
Before the discovery of duck butts?
But I agree with you that you do get into the rhythm, but I'll be writing a lot for this next year. It's just that I won't be writing that column. And you're right. Maybe it'll be that, you know, by the time it's over, I think, man, I don't remember how to do that anymore. That's not what I want to do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with columnist Dave.
You're always going to do radio?
You could always do radio. That's easier than journalism, I can tell you that. We're talking with Dave Barry, the columnist who announced a one-year hiatus in the Miami Herald today. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. Michael is with us, from another caller from Reno, Nevada.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask Dave Barry, the movie that you talked about, are you writing the screenplay for your Peter Pan prequel book that you wrote?
Oh, no. The movie that I'm involved with is based on a book I wrote called Dave Barry's Complete Guide to Guys. And Jeff Arch, the guy who wrote Sleepless in Seattle, adapted it to be a movie, and it's an independent movie that we shot most of in Miami and then just finished shooting a scene with John Cleese in California last week, and that's supposed to come out in February, so that's what that movie's about.
Did you get to go to California?
Yeah, because we figured if I was going to do a scene with John Cleese, it would work. Ideally, we would both be in the same room when it happened. I don't want to get too technical for you radio people, but... Yeah, no, I did. I got to. It was one of those things where it's like a dream, because I've always been a huge Monty Python fan, as I guess most people my age were, and mm-hmm. John Cleese fan. And I found myself, you know, standing in a room with John Cleese saying lines to me, and then waiting for me to, you know, wake up and remember I was supposed to say a line back.
Did he know who you were?
Yeah, he did.
Or at least he was polite enough to say he
told
did.
Him. You know,
yeah, that's before that's I got possible. There. Okay, Michael, thanks very much.
Hey, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And Christy. Christy's calling from North Olmsted, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment, Dave, how transgenerational you are. I discovered you probably 20 years ago and have bought some of your books, etc. And I have also discovered my children when they were like 6 and 8. They're early readers. Just giggling, and I'd follow the sound of the giggling, and they'd be reading your books.
Yeah, that's pretty much my target intellectual graphic demographic would be the 6 to 8 year old.
One time, my 8-year-old got out every book of yours from the library, brought them home, insisted on reading them to me like I hadn't ever heard them before. But
that sounds like a twisted young person. There,
doesn't that come under parental abuse?
Finally, I'd say, I'm reading already.
I appreciate that, although for a minute when she accused me of being transgenerational for a second there, I thought, But then I realized that was an okay thing.
Say a transvestite.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Transgenerational. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Christy.
Bye.
Of course, there are a lot of other activities that you're involved in. Let's talk with Martin in St. Louis.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Martin.
I'm curious. I had heard long ago that you played in a band with Stephen King. Is that true?
Yeah, we're in a rock band called the Rock Bottom Remainders. We're a mostly author rock band. Stephen is in it. Ridley Pearson, Amy Tan. Ridley is a St. Louis resident, for that matter. Amy Tan, Roy Blunt Jr., Scott Turow, Greg Iles, Mitch Albom, bunch of folks. And every year we go on a fundraising tour, raise money for a literacy charity called America Scores. In fact, we're going to be on that tour next week in St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit, and Cleveland. We're actually going to play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which will probably then have to be
closed.
Burned.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Martin, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Dave Barry, on behalf of all of those listening and all of those who wrote into your blog and all of those who read your column all these years, I'll add my thanks, too. It's been great fun. I hope you go back to it because it makes Sunday a lot better.
Well, I'm grateful for that, and I wouldn't have been able to do that if there hadn't been folks reading all those years. And I've said this a million times. I have had the best job in the world, the best run in the world, and I'm really, really grateful to everybody who made that possible. Then I didn't have to get a job, you know.
We look forward to the movie and to whatever books you produce during the hiatus, which we hope is just a year off.
All right. Thank you, Neil. I appreciate it.
Columnist Dave Barry joined us by phone. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.